Digital Media Insider, Episode 6, January 8, 2007. Welcome to Digital Media Insider from O'Reilly.com. On our website, we explore the future of audio, video, and photography to help you get more creative with technology. I'm David Bettino, and I edit the audio section of the site. This week, we have a special travel edition of the show for you. I was in Tokyo over the holidays, and I got to speak with Daigo Yokota, an editor at DTM magazine. DTM stands for Desktop Music. It's a beautifully produced magazine that comes with a DVD of gear reviews and original music. Daigo shared two songs he thought were especially good, and we talked about the state of music technology in Japan. I also tried an experiment with today's show. Because I was traveling, I decided to see how far I could get with just a cheap Windows laptop, a headset mic, and $49 worth of software. I've put lots of details at digitalmedia.oreilly.com, but let's jump right in with a look at the desktop music scene in one of the world's most high-tech countries.
Who's your typical reader, and what are they looking for?
Mostly young people, teenagers, who like to start making music by themselves, but they're not necessarily capable of playing any musical instruments. So the DTM is the good solution for people who can't play musical instrument.
What are the, say, the typical setups that people would have?
They are mostly Windows machine. They have PC and maybe a MIDI controller and audio interface. That's it.
So yeah, so pretty simple, and everything is done in software.
Yeah, Japan is very small, so we don't have much desktop area.
Right.
So people don't go buy 88 keys keyboard to start music. They buy like 25 keys or 49 keys. As you can see from the Japanese electric products, people prefer to, many people prefer small things. They like to make things compact. They used to have a Roland SC88 Pro.
Like Sound Canvas?
Sound Canvas. You know, they like to have something compact, like all-in-one. Or now it's software, so people don't want to stack the synthesizers.
What about other instruments? Do you have a lot of guitarists reading your magazine, or singers?
Yes. One of the musicians who writes for DTM magazine is a guitarist who can also make good desktop music, make good rhythm tracks with his software. So I think many guitarists read it.
And is it more of a solitary pursuit? You know, Alan Parsons said the mouse is only made for one hand, so it's hard to collaborate on computers so much.
Yeah, I think many readers are into making their songs by themselves.
Is there an equivalent of, say, MySpace here, where people are showing off their works?
Yes, there's a website made by Yamaha, so people can listen to each other's songs and rate them.
What's the community like? Are people supportive? Sometimes you'll see people start to criticize each other, or, you know, pretend that they're better than each other.
Yeah, that happens, but I think people are supportive because it's not so anonymous. DTM is kind of like a small community that they try to be friendly. It's not a place for competing.
See, like the guitar community where you're always trying to play faster than the next guy?
It's not like that.
What about getting back to some of the typical systems? What are you finding your readers are using in terms of sequencers and software synthesizers, things like that?
Like product name?
Yeah, so like, you know, Reason or Live or Sonar. You've got Sonar Cubase on your cover here.
Wow, it's hard to. It's not. There's no like such dominant software anymore.
Interesting.
It used to be. In Japan, it used to be. I think it's the same in the States too, but like 10 years ago, it used to be to start music, you have to have Mac and use Performer. That's when Performer, I don't know,
Revision
3, 3.5 or Visual 2.0 kind of era. If you have Macintosh, I think the choice is kind of easy. Start with GarageBand,
mm-hmm.
maybe, and go with Logic
mm-hmm.
or Cubase. But for Windows, there are so many choices.
Mm-hmm. Do you have to do a lot of computer support with your readers? Is that a typical question you get?
We don't take any support questions.
Yeah.
Yeah. If someone calls our office, we tell them the telephone number for
okay.
each manufacturer. So.
There you go. We can move over to your DVD a bit and talk about some of the things you put on that. So I noticed you'll have kind of hands-on product demos where you'll have maybe two people from your staff sit down with the latest keyboard and demonstrate it.
We have connections with some musicians, professional musicians, so I would ask them to use their software, use the software and review them and also make music using that software.
Mm-hmm. So let's listen to one of the pieces here. You picked this one because it was made with only two pieces of software. It was
yes.
the Zeta and Stylus RMX.
Yes.
So what was interesting about that, besides the limited instrumentation for you?
What's interesting about this is that, yeah, in Japan, the image of DTM is like you stay at home and make Super Nintendo type of music. You know, they think using computer something that sounds cheap.
Right. Like, kind of small.
But here's a professional musician who used hardware and software.
Mm-hmm.
But in this case, using only the software, he makes very spacey, nice ambient sound.
Silent Sight from the January 2007 issue of DTM magazine. You can download the complete track from our website, digitalmedia.oreilly.com. You can also read more about the composer, Kenichi Koyano, and the software he used.
Yes, Mr. Koyano. He composes the song and he explains how he put each sound in three dimensions.
Okay, so in the magazine we have these two charts of, maybe I can scan these and put them on the website mm-hmm. as well, of the different parts in the instrumentation and how they're kind of spreading from left to right and front to back. And that actually makes me think of something. Do you have much interest in surround sound here, or is it mostly stereo?
Me?
Just in general, people who are making music, are they thinking in surround?
It's not like taken off much.
Mm-hmm.
My impression is that, but I shouldn't say that. I should say that surround is the future. People in film industry are, I think, more interested in that. But as far as I know, not many musicians are putting surround technology into their own music.
Mm-hmm.
There are a few famous people who tried to release their CD or DVD on surround. like studio recording is around. Of course, the live recordings, they is around, you know, the live DVDs.
But I wonder if that gets back to the smallness of the living space here as well, where you don't have space to set up six speakers.
Right. That's a big how do you call it, like setback, big obstacle to spread surround environment to Japanese homes.
And is a lot of music being listened to on headphones as well?
Yeah, and in trains.
In trains.
Because many people use train to go to their school, go to their job, and they have like an hour or an hour and a half to commute. So there are many people who listen to their music with headphones because, you know, their rooms are small.
Right.
And houses are close to each other, and they live in an apartment with thin walls.
Right. Paper shutters. I then asked Daigo which cover stories were the most popular, and he told me about DTM's massive roundups of music shareware and freeware.
We collect like 200 or 300 and put the demo on DVD.
Okay.
So user can enjoy.
So downloading isn't much of a problem here, is it? You've got much faster internet connections generally than we would have in the States.
Yeah.
So the real value of the DVD is that you've just collected everything for people.
Mm-hmm. And not many people read English. Some people are afraid of English site.
Mm-hmm.
So we kind of translate, explain it in Japanese. Explain it.
Oh, right.
But in Japanese, so...
Because a lot of the plugins are written in English, or...
Yeah.
Okay.
And they don't want to spend like $50 or $60 for things that they don't understand, so...
Well, conversely, are there some plugins that came out in Japan that we might not know about in America that...
There are a few good plugins that's made by a Japanese programmer. Do you know Synth One?
Mm-mm.
Synth One is... It's a simulation of Nord Lead.
Oh, okay.
Huh. Red synthesizer. And it's pretty good.
Should we talk about the other piece as well? The guitar ones?
Yeah.
So this is Chaos.
Yeah, by S.G. Ogawa.
And in this piece, he's used Trilogy, the Spectrasonics bass synthesizer, and BFD, the drum synthesizer.
Mm-hmm.
And then he's playing it along with the live guitar.
Mm-hmm.
And then how did he record this? Cubase?
Yes, he used Cubase SX. And I believe he uses Layla for audio interface.
Mm-hmm.
And the concept of this song is reviewing BFD.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so real that you can make a jazz piece and this music almost sounds as if it's played live, like improvised. So this is something that's far from what people imagine from hearing the word DTM.
Mm-hmm.
This does not sound like dun 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 dun, you know, the typical technology centered kind of sound.
Was Behind the Chaos by Etsuji Ogawa from the December 2006 issue of DTM. We have links to more music by Ogawa-san at digitalmedia.oreilly.com. Several of the musicians who compose demos for DTM also write video game soundtracks, so I asked Daigo about opportunities in that area.
One video game can sell like more than a million sets, and which is better than popular musician CD.
Right.
You know, the CD sales is going down, but hit game, video game sells more than CD. Maybe people don't recognize the composer's face or name unless you're really into the game. But there are many very famous video game composers, and people buy soundtrack because of that composer.
Mm.
Yeah, if you become a good video game composer, then you make a good living.
Do you think that's where many of your readers are aiming right now?
I think so.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, you can do that kind of stuff in your home, in your room.
How about the future then? How do you see DTM progressing?
The computer's spec is not a problem anymore, because the PCs are good enough,
uh-huh.
so that you don't have to think about optimizing the PC for DTM. So, the future.
It's an interesting question. Are we there yet? Is it now just becoming more artistic? The tools are good enough now?
I think tools are good enough.
Uh-huh.
But I shouldn't say that. I think in terms of sound quality, you can get the professional sound, and you can get the real sound.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't have to have a $3,000 PC to get that sound
mm-hmm.
anymore. You can get that sound using like Celeron 1.7 gigahertz
mm-hmm.
if you want. So
it's I wonder, I mean, some of the things I explored in my book were more about the user interface and how the instrument itself becomes smarter to enable it to respond to what you want to do rather than what you just did.
Mm. Yeah, that's...
So maybe some kind of artificial intelligence.
Yeah, oh, that's I think that's surely the direction. Like some samplers are becoming intelligent.
Mm-hmm.
Like Trilogy, you don't have to think much about articulation, but you don't have to switch everything to get the articulation that you want, but you kind of play it and it automatically chooses like down picking and up picking,
mm-hmm.
that kind of stuff.
People have been saying Kontakt is very good at that, the Kontakt sampler, that it'll do interesting or very realistic transitions between notes, like legatos and things like that.
And also you can program this stuff.
You know, it kind of strikes me, you go and look for a rice cooker here and it advertises how it has fuzzy logic, and you know, even your rice cooker is thinking for you. I wonder if that
will
inform instruments in the future.
Yeah, one of the things that you said about interface,
mm-hmm.
You can see in new Cubase 4 and Analog Factory, the search engine in that player is getting better. You know, like in GarageBand, you can just put the genre.
Right.
Like rock, soft, sad, or something, and they will choose matched audio sample.
How about in hardware? What trends do you see there?
Hardware.
Or what would you like to see?
Oh. Yeah, I'm not that interested in hardware.
Interesting.
Things we could do in hardware is now it's possible in software. So I think hardware should be more connected with software.
Mm-hmm. Like the Yamaha Studio Connections type of thing.
Yeah, and I think MicroX by Korg.
Mm.
Like you can edit the sound easily.
Yeah, that was interesting. I just reviewed that for Electronic Musician. It was interesting how the computer became an extension of the keyboard.
Right, yeah.
And it wasn't like you would click something and then wait for it to download to the keyboard. It was right there. It was very fast. That's a good example.
Yeah. So I think in order for hardware to be attractive, if we talk about synthesizer, it has to be open for updating. It shouldn't be closed system anymore. It should be open to be connected with computers.
Mm-hmm. Oh, how about ringtones? Are people composing for ringtones very much?
Yeah, about 5 years ago, that was a big thing. Mm-hmm. All the technology that necessary for doing DTM can be used for karaoke. So many good musicians made karaoke tracks. It was karaoke's big thing in Japan.
Mm-hmm.
And the ringtone got really popular in like late 1990s to like 2001, 2002.
Mm-hmm.
When the ringtone became like monophonic to polyphonic,
right.
Like 3 or 4 and then 16.
Mm-hmm.
That's when the ringtone was really huge. And all the good DTM musicians who made their living making karaoke tracks,
uh-huh.
shifted to ringtone business.
But now that's fading a bit? That's not so
because they can... people can set their ringtone music, actual music.
Okay.
Like MP3 music. So ringtone is not as big as it used to be.
Well, thanks so much.
Thank you very much.
You've been listening to Digital Media Insider, the official podcast of the O'Reilly Digital Media site. Visit us at digitalmedia.oreilly.com. That's O-R-E-I-L-L-Y. And let us know what creative technologies you'd like to explore. Incidentally, I wrote this theme music using software that I learned about while editing articles for the site. See the show notes for links. For O'Reilly Digital Media, I'm David Bettino.